Okay, this is Electric Sisterhood, the girl gamer and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 1, Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh yeah. Alright, let's get this show on the road.
Yes.
How about the likes, Ninja Sister? What did you like? What did you like?
Well, let's see. I liked pretty much the gameplay overall. The camera was great. I could put it where I needed it to be. I didn't have to, like, beg it to not give me a bad angle when I was trying to jump around the joint. I liked that it didn't have as many of the platforming elements as the first game, which made it really, really difficult to, like, try and play.
I
liked how easy it was just to pick up the game and just play. Just beat stuff up and not have to worry about hitting a button to get to the magic, because I really needed the magic, because I didn't really need that. If I just wanted to go and just be badass and swing and beat up stuff, I could. And if I wanted to not do that, I didn't have to. So I like that. I like the addition of the Tron world for all the Tron folks out there.
Tronny.
You will be disappointed by the light cycle race, but there is a light cycle race, and it looks really good. So that was fun. Some of my dislikes, I didn't like how some of the worlds you were fighting the same boss that you were fighting in the first game. Like, oh, we go to Nightmare Before Christmas Land, and guess what? We have to fight Oogie Boogie again. Yay!
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't anything new there. Ooh, let's go to Agrabah and fight Jafar.
Again.
Yeah, that really didn't move me. Okay.
Yeah,
it
didn't
way.
Move me either.
So I really didn't like that. I didn't like that for some things the game was really linear. Like, there was only one way to get the ultimate weapon. You have one shot at it, and if you messed up any of the steps, you absolutely couldn't do it.
Oh, see, I haven't gone for the ultimate weapon yet, so I was not aware of this.
Yeah, because you need, like, the recipe that you have for it says that you need, like, 12 Ornithalum plus crystals, and you're like, okay, but the guy's like, there's only six in the game, so, like, how do I get 12? And basically what happens is, throughout the game play, you end up getting another recipe thing that halves all the items that you need to get a particular item. So instead of needing 12, you only need 6, and there's only 6 pieces in the game. Unfortunately, one of the ones that you need, you can only get from completing the Goddess of Fate Cup, which you can only get to after you complete the first 3 Paradox Cups. But I guess it turns out that you have to complete them not only as they are, but also with a certain amount of points in order to get the Paradox Cups, because I've tried everything. I've gone back into games. I mean, seriously, I have worked this thing trying to get the Paradox Cups. I even went back to my save game before I met Hades, because you have to go to Hades to get some of these cups. Nothing doing. My game just will not let me do the Paradox Cups at all.
Oh,
I tried
that.
Leaving the world, going back. I'm just tired of it. And I'm like, that sucks, because I really want this weapon. Not gonna happen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ninja Sister.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. So those are my likes and my dislikes. But overall, I love the game.
Yeah, I totally love the game.
How about you?
All right, my likes. I'm a music buff. So the opening song definitely got me by the balls. Now, guys, I don't actually have balls, but you guys get the reference. It really, you know, the symmetry of the opening sequence really got me excited for the game. Like, ooh, yay. You know, I liked the limit commands. I liked the reaction commands. You know, I'm an old school gamer, you know, where you're playing a lot of fighting games where you have to go and memorize sequences in order to get combos. But in this, they make it simple enough that you can do it and still could see a bomb-ass move, even if you didn't hit the triangle 3 times in rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
What I did not like, I'm a slaughterer. I like to go around, I like to slaughter stuff, I like to get presents, and I like to get level. They kind of make that a tad bit tedious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell you certain bosses, you should be a certain level to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, taking your time going through these levels, it's, I shouldn't say nearly impossible, but they make it grueling and tedious and hard.
Right.
And they get you in the mindset where you're going around, you're slaughtering, you're getting XP, you're getting, you know, stuff to, you know, synthesize. And you go to a particular level, Atlantica, and, you know, they get you all set up, and up, it's sing-along time. And it really just kind of, you know, you get that whole rush, yeah, this is exciting. Oh, now let's throw you back a couple of steps and make you use your brain.
Yeah, are you saying that you didn't like the musical Atlantica world?
I loved The Little Mermaid. I loved the music from The Little Mermaid. I just didn't feel like, I don't think you really gained anything from Atlantica being there. Because you don't level up there. And in order to do the songs, you have to level up certain things to do them. But you're not getting anything from them. It's not like, ooh, you get all the excellences and you get something.
Yeah, that's definitely a heavy little.
It's a switch.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're so set in a way, you know, like in some games, you know, you fight a little puzzle, you fight a little while solving a puzzle. That's cool. I don't mind that. But to switch me up, I didn't care for it. I was never really big with Simon or or those mind puzzle games, so that kind of, it threw me back a little bit. But, I mean, I still liked hearing Part of Your World. I still liked Singing Under the Sea. But, you know, I kind of missed the whole fighting underwater, because that was one of the big things I liked from the first game.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I'd say one of my other dislikes is the fact that you don't really get to fly. Now, the people who played the first game, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, Neverland, where you're able to fly. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I still wish I could fly, you know, in real life. So this kind of fed into my fantasy a little bit. So I thought, oh, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2, I can fly again. Nah. They do give you a chance where you're kind of gliding. But it's during
gliding
your last Xemnas battle.
Flying. Okay.
You're gliding, and you're pretty much trying to not get killed by Xemnas when you're doing it, so you don't really get to enjoy it. Not to mention buildings are flying at you while you're gliding. So, you know,
yeah, that's never
they
any
really
fun.
Kind of take the fun out of the fantasy,
mm-hmm.
which I did not like. I'd say one of the other things I disliked was the fact that they could not get all of the original voice actors to come back on board.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing Dave Boreanaz. You know, he did a really good job of Leon in the first game. You know, had that nice brooding voice, and it just melt me like butter on breakfast toast.
Mm.
And I was looking forward to it, and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, a couple other voice actors had to be changed up a little bit, but you know, you can only do with what you got. And
yeah.
That's what they got.
You know, I mean, some people had previous engagements, some people wanted more money, some people just didn't want to be involved, you know, some people had scheduling conflicts. I mean, that stuff happens all the time. But I was really disappointed that Disney didn't haul in the original voice actors for the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
I mean, they're shooting the doggone movies, 2 and 3, on top of each other. You mean to tell me, in all that time, while those people are doing their voiceover work for their movies, they could, like, go a studio over and give up an hour to do some dialogue?
Apparently not.
Yeah. So I was like,
tisk tisk to you guys. Your fan base has slightly dwindled.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready for me some Johnny Depp goodness. I was like, woo.
Yep, I had my Johnny Depp towel ready and raring and didn't have to use it.
Didn't have to use it.
Nope.
That's disappointing.
Very disappointing.
That's sad.
Very.
Okay, I gotta ask you this question because I've been dying to ask you.
All right, go right ahead and ask me.
First couple of times we tried to record this podcast.
I know.
What are we on, like 3, 4?
Yeah, this is 3.
Sora or Roxas?
Ooh. As in, which one do I prefer?
Yep.
Ah, excellent question. Well, and it's also kind of a trick question because Roxas, this is going to be a spoiler, so if you haven't played this game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, you should have known better.
Yeah, really.
You know, Roxas is half of Sora, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, he's an embodiment, you know, the whole nobody versus heartless type of complex thing. Get the game so you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
So I don't feel like elaborating.
No.
But I'd have to say, voice actor-wise, I did prefer, Osmond.
Yeah.
He's very sexy sounding.
Uh-huh.
Jesse McCarthy, you know, was playing Roxas. You know, and I kind of feel bad because Roxas wasn't supposed to have too much emotion anyway, so that's why his dialogue seemed very dry.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I can't really, you know,
how much longer are you going to pussyfoot around it?
Okay, I'm getting there. All right. If I really had to say, I'd probably say Sora. Sora rocks my boat.
Aww.
No offense, if I had a boyfriend who was fighting for the light of the world and, you know, held my heart in his body, you know, I'd have to stay with him for at least, like, forever. Just at least forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
What about you?
Roxas.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, because you know at the end where you kind of get to see Roxas as the nobody Roxas before he ended up at Twilight Town?
You mean the badass Roxas from Orphan Legacy
13? Yes.
When he told Riku to shut up?
Yummy. Roxas.
Yeah, he did have his hot moment. This is very true.
Roxas. I was right at that moment. I was like, oh my god, he's hot. Like, because when you're running around Twilight Town, you're just kind of goofy and you're not really there. I mean, emotionally, you know, because he is a nobody, he's not emotionally present, so you don't really get too attached to him. I mean, he's kind of got something going on, but you're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
But then you get those flashbacks where he's with the organization and palling around with Axel, and you're just like, ooh. And then he whips out his Keyblades.
Yes.
And puts the Smackdown, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, awesome. very true.
So.
All right, I'll have to bow my head down for that one because I totally forgot about the sexy Roxas.
Yeah, sexy Roxas.
He does kind of throw off the sex vibe there.
Oh, I'd be his nobody any day, but.
Oh, you'd be his nominee?
I would be his nominee.
I don't know too many girls who wouldn't want to be nominee.
I don't know. I would have to agree with you there. I don't know. I would love to be nominee.
Yeah. I thought she made that egg pod thing that she put Sora in. I thought that'd be pretty cool. Be like,
I don't know. It kind of just looks like an artichoke to me.
It was pretty cool. Like when it was forming, it kind of looked like a flower.
I know, but if you've ever seen an artichoke, it looked like artichoke petals. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess, you know, because the middle part of the artichoke is a heart. So I'm like, all right, so Sora's in the heart of the pure artichoke. I was like, okay.
Oh, you just totally had to ruin my fantasy of a clear flower chair. anyway.
You can have the flower chair. I'm just saying it looks like an artichoke.
Okay. All right,
it's a pretty artichoke.
Moving on. Gummy battle. The gummy ship battle. What is your intake on them?
Much better.
Two thumbs up.
Improved.
Two thumbs up.
Yep. Definitely improved the gummy ship stuff, I have to say. I was very, very pleased about that. I actually was able to get on. It didn't feel like it was just a tacked on element. You know, like Atlantica feels like it was added on. You know,
like we don't have enough. Let's add some music.
Yeah, we need another level. There needs to be something else going on. Let's throw in Atlantica. Because we can't really throw in another Peter Pan level because we don't have time. But, you know, in the first game, that's how the gummy ship thing seemed to me. Because it wasn't real in-depth, it wasn't really involved, and it didn't really feel like a good part of the game. And
no.
This go-round, it does. It feels like it belongs. You know, like, you shouldn't be able to jump from world to world without having to go through something.
Right.
So the fact that it's an actual battle, that you get items, you know, for the gummy ships and gummy plans through doing it, and you can actually control what it is that you're aiming at, and actually
you can lock on! And you can lock on to enemies this time.
Yeah, locking on. Really, really nice. Thumbs up, people. Thumbs up for the lock on.
No. Nope. Two thumbs up.
Oh, way up. So they're much improved. I found that I didn't really spend a whole lot of time trying to build up my gummy ships. I just kind of left them the way they were when I got the plans.
Right.
But I definitely changed them as I kept getting better and better plans. So it definitely fits much more than Atlantica or anything else.
Yes, it really did. It was like a hand in glove, you know, a killer first date the second time around.
Yes.
Who's been the toughest opponent that you've come across yet? I don't
Zig
know if you've beaten the game yet.
Zigbar. I don't even have to think about it. Zigbar. I haven't beaten the game, so I'm sure when I beat the game, it's going to be Xemnas, but to this point, the dude with the guns was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He's not fun, and if you haven't noticed, with some of the Organization 13 members that you actually come in contact with, and then you fight a little bit, and then they go away, the nobodies that they bring with them tend to mimic some attribute to how they fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first meet him, he's got nobodies that do the shooting, where you could use your reaction command that makes you snipe them. You know, and they all do that. All the nobodies that most of them, except for the Dusks. Dusks are standard, but the specialized nobodies that come around with them have that special attribute, and I think that's just a way to say, hey, pay attention to these nobodies because you're going to be fighting the guy who does this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that the hardest person that I had to fight that took me a couple times to get down, there were two of them, the guy with the guitar with the water attack.
Dimmer?
I think, yes, he was kind of hard only because of the fact that your first real battle with them, you know, it's all about timing. You know, you got to get your timing right because you could be sitting there and only have a little shred of his life to go, and he go and shoot out another 10-second, 10-figure, you know, mark, and it completely fuck up your groove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a couple of times I had to redo him because of that. I suggest for all those who are having a hard time with this guy, the guide does give you some excellent pointers, and use the reaction command, wild dance as much as you possibly can.
Oh, yeah. Wild dance. Very, very good.
Yes, please do. The second toughest opponent that I've had to face thus far is Zaladin, Beauty and the Beast. This guy was a pain to my nutsack, and I don't even have a nutsack. I have to go out and buy the nuts, put it in a sack, and then beat it.
Ouch.
Extra effort
in the
nut crunching that this guy has put me through. And I felt kind of bad because when you go and you actually fight him, You know, you get a couple of more chances to whoop his butt because King Mickey comes to your fucking rescue.
Really?
Thank you, King. Yes, he does. If you die, or should I say you get knocked out, because there, no one actually dies in this game. You know, instead of saying continue, it says you won't give up, and then you play as Mickey.
Mine always says continue.
Oh, well, then maybe yours is fucked up, because
and then I start again as Sora. I've never had Mickey come to my rescue.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, surprise. He comes to mind.
Well, what the fuck?
And, when you get to use him, you know, they're trying to get you to level up Mickey's, his gauge so that he can cast healing on Sora. So Sora can come back, and you get four chances with that, and then after that, you continue.
Okay, this is just bullshit, because I have never gotten King Mickey.
And you actually get, and if you time out just right, because Mickey actually is a little more powerful than Sora, so if you can, you know, get some locked on combos onto Zaladin, he can pretty much beat up Zaladin.
Now, is it just for the Zaladin battle?
Just for the Zaladin battle.
Oh, see, I didn't die at the Zaladin battle.
Yes, well, for those of us who do.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What happened.
All right, I was about to feel really jipped. See, I didn't die at Zaladin.
Okay, I get it. You're better than me. Let's move on. Anyway, but yes. And I kind of like the idea of being able to play as King Mickey, since you're kind of chasing a shadow in the first game.
Right.
And what's up with Mickey, you know, wearing one of the Organization 13's jackets?
Okay, all right.
He looked kind of evil.
Yeah, I don't think that it was because King Mickey was, like, supposed to be evil or anything. I think it was because mostly he was roaming around the world that never was, so he had on the little trench coat thing to look like he fit.
Mm.
But you definitely got the feeling when, you know, the first couple of times you interacted with him, because he was real short with you, he was like, "Here, I don't have time! You have to take this pouch and go!" Okay, Mickey. I'll take the pouch and go, Mickey. Mickey, don't be mad at me. Don't hurt me, Mickey!
Yes, I got that same kind of vibe with him when you first interact with him.
Yeah, after that, you just kind of, once you get a hold of him at Radiant Garden.
I know. Emphasis on the Radiant Garden.
He's just all normal and sweet and nice.
Dude,
and that we all
like
know.
I have to say, I kind of liked when he totally rips off the coat and then he's got his, like, badass uniform on.
Yes.
Go, Mickey. Go, Mickey. But anyway.
Go ahead. Okay, well, I've got a question for you.
Shoot, sis.
Which
shoot.
Is better? The form system in Devil May Cry 3 or the form system in Kingdom Hearts 2?
Ooh, good question. I will have to put some thought into my answer. Well, for all those who've never played Devil May Cry 3, I do suggest you pick up this, you know, it's a trio, you know, obviously 3, there must be a 2 and a 1, because it's a really good story, and you can be a badass guy. The form system in that game, you know, there are separate different forms which you have to equip at a time. So, you know, you can, you know, you've got your Sword Master, that implies, you know, what techniques you have. Royal Guard, where you have a lot of hand-to-hand defense combat. You know, Gun Master, you know, same, you know, pretty much you know what you're getting into.
You use guns.
Yeah, you use guns. Your Ivory and Ebony. Ebony and Ivory.
Right, don't start singing it, because then we'll have to, like, pay money to people.
I'm sorry.
She wasn't singing that song, people. Mr. McCartney, please don't sue us.
Yeah, please don't. you know, and then you have your Quicksilver, where you move as fast as grease lightning. I mean, fumes.
Careful again.
I wasn't going to sing. Going to sing that time, but you get the idea.
Yes.
And, you know, as badass as Dante is, and Lord knows he's badass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the drive form in Devil May Cry is a little strange because of the fact that you can only be in one at a time, and it takes out from gameplay, you have to sit there and switch between them. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Kingdom Hearts 2, you know, as long as you have Donald and Goofy in your party, and you will need them both mm-hmm. for a particular form, and or one or the other, and, you know, you could switch between them, and if you wanted to attempt to level them all up around the same time, you have that option. So, Kingdom Hearts 2 all the way with the form system, gotta love it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I really love the way that you can switch out forms on the fly, that you don't have to go to a select menu and then find the form that you want and then say, yes, I want to equip it and then go back to the gameplay and not lose where you were in your mode of ass whoop. But I do prefer in the Devil May Cry 3 leveling system how easy it is to level up your form. It is taking me forever to level up my form, which is why I'm really amazed at how fast you've been able to do yours, because my Valor form is still at 3, and I'm 2 battles away from beating the game on beginner, so I'm having to go back and just pick fights basically in areas that I think there are going to be a lot of enemies, and get into my form, hope that it's not an anti-Sora form. And and hope that I'll defeat enough enemies that it will level up. And that's just not happening. So I don't know if I'm not pulling off combos the way that it wants me to or not, but forget about it.
Right. I can't stand that anti-Sora form. It makes me so mad.
Yes. It makes me want to be an anti-ninja sister.
Yeah.
And smack my PlayStation. But I love my PlayStation. I don't want to hit it.
I don't want to hit mine either.
I love you, baby. I promise I'll never hit you again. Why do you make me so mad? Why do you make me want to hurt you?
Okay, ninja sister. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I went to the dark place. Let's come back.
Yes, and we don't need our listeners to hear about the dark place.
No, we don't want to go to the dark place.
No.
But how much does it suck that summons and magic don't really play a part of the game?
Well, it's not that they don't play a part, it's just, you know, this game gives you a lot to do. And, you know, between, you know, fighting and killing, you know, Heartless and Nobodies, getting your XP to level up your forms, up here come mini-games, up here comes the Atlantica music, you know, rehearsals.
Yes, you know how you feel about Atlantica.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, on top of that, oh, look, you have powers to summon. Oh, look, you have magic. Now, I've used some magic, I'm not going to lie, but I don't rely on my magic, and I have yet to even touch my summons.
You don't touch your summons?
No. I've never
not
used
at
one.
All?
Not at all. Have not touched them.
I've never used magic.
You need to use magic in Atlantica.
Okay. I had to get the thing, the items to have the ability.
But you didn't have to use
it. But I didn't have to use it. So I got the items, but I've never fired off a Thundaga or Blizzara or Furadura, Fireraga, whatever the hell it is, shot. I've never used it. Because it takes so much time for me to hit the L button and then read what is where and get to magic and then see what's on what button. I could just be slashing at something. Who needs to read? I just need to slash.
I know, me too. Just fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All in all, what do you say? Recommend it?
I say, you know, if you got the money, go get it. If you don't have the money, steal it.
No, don't steal it. Stealing's wrong. Stealing is five fingers.
Beg the mom and the dad.
And if that doesn't work, donate plasma.
Yes, and platelets.
Saving a life.
And getting money.
It doesn't get any better, folks. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It's
please go out and get
situation.
This. I beg you. I'm on my knees. I'm literally on my knees begging you. Please, go get this game.
You gotta get the game.
You will not be disappointed. If you're a mother, your kids will love this game. You know, if you're a father, you're going to love this game. Your kids are going to love this. Everyone loves this game. I have yet to meet someone who did not like this game.
Yeah, it's a game that you can leave with your kids and know that they're not going to want to, like, go out and have sex with a hooker and then kill her to get their money back.
Oh, God. Is that from, that Grand sounds Theft. Like a game. I was totally thinking Grand Theft Auto.
That's exactly where it's from. Okay, but, you know, you can let your kid play this game for a couple of hours while you go off and make dinner or go to McDonald's, you know, with whatever.
Get dinner, period.
You don't have to worry about your kid playing this game. You can leave them alone. They'll have fun. They won't pick up any bad habits because they're not going to think that they can go to the Pride Lands and, you know, take on Scar.
Become a lion.
Yeah, they're not going to really think that. So, Electric Sisterhood says,
The game. Go for it.
Play this game. Own the experience. You'll enjoy it.
And then come back and comment to us about how much you liked it. We want to hear from you.
Comment on the site. We need to hear from you people.
Because we know there are people out there listening to us.
Oh, we know you're out there.
We don't see you, but we know.
We have our ways. We get information. We know you're listening.
I can call Uncle Carmine if I have to.
Don't call Uncle Carmine. He's crazy.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying. I can do it. I can do it.
Sick. The thing you do with that pick, that's just sick, man. It's just sick.
I'm just saying. If I have to, I can pull up my phone right now and do it.
Look, it's the reason why he doesn't get invited to the family reunions, okay?
Yeah, good point. Okay, fine. I won't call Uncle Carmine. But you guys get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. And we want you to have the idea. It's important.
Yes, it's very
important. So if you have ideas, we now have our 800 number up. So if you got a question, a comment, a shout-out, whatever, we might answer them on the blog. But you got to hit us up. So that number, it's a toll-free number.
It's free!
Yeah.
College students everywhere should love that. Free. F-R-E-E. Free.
Who doesn't love free stuff?
I love free stuff.
I love free stuff. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, all the anime people out there. We love free stuff. Microsoft, we'd love to review your game, but we don't have Xbox 360. Okay, moving on. Hit us up on the 800 number. That number is 1-888-333-8985. That's 1-888-333-8985. Leave us a voicemail message, and if we like your question or your comment, we might just feature it in the blog.
You could become famous, sort of.
We could just feature it in the podcast.
Da-da-da!
People would hear that you have thoughts in your head.
Oh, no.
I know, isn't that scary?
That is scary.
And if you don't want to be in the podcast, comment on the blog. Where's that blog at? www.splendidblunder.com/electricsisterhood.html. That's the direct link. If you just go to splendidblunder.com, you'll see the Electric Sisterhood link. Click it.
And there you go.
And there you go. Enjoy the podcast, goodness. Yeah, so would you say this pick's been kicked?
Oh, it's been kicked.
Have we flogged the horse
today? I think we've beaten the horse to a point of submission.
Okay. But not to blue, because
we don't like turning horses to blue.
No, that's
bad. I like to ride the horses, not use them to put my macaroni on the plate.
Yeah. You know what I like to use? Put my macaroni on the plate.
Do we have time to discuss that now?
No, we'll leave that for another podcast.
That's
all right. That's it, Electric Sisterhood. Done. I'm Linda
Fisher. And I'm Pamela Lisher.
And we'll be coming to you in another week with another